This is a CKTZ News update. Clean Energy Canada evaluated the Liberal, Conservative, NDP, and Green Party climate plans.
So after evaluating the four-party platforms in the 2021 election, you know, we really found that the Liberal Party platform is both ambitious and has the plans, the details, the actions of how it's going to reduce its emissions.
Said Maren Smith, Executive Director of Clean Energy Canada.
Over the past few years, when they've been in power, they've put in place a number of measures like carbon pricing, the clean fuel standard, and a plan to first meet their 30% reductions and then a 36% reductions. What we see in this new platform is the plans and the linkages to investments in the economy to both reduce emissions by about 40% or more, as well as really invest in the economy of the future. Things like low carbon goods and services like steel, like cement, and also things like investing in batteries and electric vehicle manufacturing, which are really going to be the things that Canada's using and exporting to the world. What we saw in the NDP and the Green plans is that they claim to be more ambitious. Their targets are more than what we're seeing with the Liberal Party platform, but it's really hard to assess them because there just isn't the detail on the policy and the actions that they plan to take. And then the Conservative Party is really in a camp of its own. You know, while it's positive that the Conservatives produced a climate plan, this is really the first time they have. The problem is that their plan is weaker. It takes us backwards. Their target is to only reduce emissions by 30%. And there's frankly concern about some of the things they say they will do because they have caveats about whether they will delay implementing things like the carbon price, for example, based on what other countries in the world are doing. So it really doesn't give one confidence that they're going to move forward with the actions that they've outlined. And in addition, what they're outlining would take Canada backwards to lower emissions than what are on the books today.
CKTZ News emailed the North Island, Powell River candidates from all four parties mentioned in this study. The NDP, Green, and Conservative parties have not yet responded. In Liberal campaign manager David Somerville's response, he refers to Mark Jackert, who did the economic modeling for Clean Energy Canada's study. Quote, Mark Jackert, who works as an advisor to the BC NDP government on climate policy, agrees that the Liberal campaign plan is the only plan that is both ambitious and realistically achievable. He gave our climate plan an A, the Conservatives a D, with both the NDP and Greens receiving a failing grade. If you don't want to take Mark Jackert's word for it, ask Andrew Weaver, former leader of the BC Greens. Even he agrees that the Liberal Party has the best plan to combat climate change and protect the environment for future generations. In this election, there was only one party that will seriously address the issue of climate change. Unquote. CKTZ News asked Ms. Smith for a more detailed analysis.
There's a few criteria I use for evaluating the climate plans of the different parties. You know, one is what level of ambition do they have? You know, is it enough ambition to reduce emissions? Secondly, it's not just about ambition. We need to now have the plans, the policies, the timelines, and the actions. So do they have that level of detail? What are they going to act? Put in place. And for some of the key sectors we need to talk about are transportation, oil and gas, electricity, and carbon pricing. And we can talk a bit more about why those are the key ones for me. Transportation and oil and gas together represent more than half of Canada's emissions. So those are huge areas that we need to address. And the emissions in both of those sectors are increasing, not decreasing. So we need some serious action there. On electricity, you know, one of Canada's competitive advantages is that we already have an 83% zero emission grid. So that makes it very clean. We can, if we're going to be phasing out fossil fuels, we're going to be replacing it in many cases with clean electricity. And so we need to get that grid up to 100% zero emission electricity, which we can do easily in Canada. And we need to have policies to start plugging it into everything, cars, trucks, industry, et cetera. And then carbon pricing is one of the most effective and efficient tools to deal with climate change. So those are the four key areas that I'm really focused on, policies and timelines, actions. Then another very, very important, in fact, I would say this is the most important thing, is have we integrated climate policy with economic policy? Are these parties proposing, do they understand where the economy of the future is going, and that is to be a low carbon, clean energy powered economy? So are they focused on Canada being successful, producing low carbon goods and services, producing clean energies that will be what Canada needs to be selling and using in 2030 and 2040, or are they focused on the past? So those are the ways that I think about the party platforms.
Okay. So what are your evaluations of their platforms, and did they work? From what you can see.
Okay, so, yeah. So why don't I start with ambition. So we have three parties that are proposing that they'll have climate ambition that is more than we have today. The Liberals at 40 to 45%, which is actually what they committed to earlier in the year as our new Paris target, and the NDP and the Greens even more ambitious than that. And we have one party, the Conservatives, who is actually proposing to take us backwards. Their target is only 30% reduction of carbon pollution. I would call that a 2015 type of target. And Canada today, you know, we have a legally binding Paris target. It's 40 to 45%. And we would be the only country that would be actually going backwards, proposing a weaker target. So on ambition, three parties taking us forward, one taking us back. And that's the Conservatives. On the, what, you know, the policies and the timelines, the actions, let's start with transport. What we're seeing from many of the parties is that they've really acknowledged that we need to focus on zero emission vehicles. They all have similar types of ambitions that we're going to move forward to be having 100% zero emission vehicle sales by 20. You know, the Green Party is proposing 2030, which seems very, very quick. The Liberals came out in August proposing they would have 100% sales by 2035 and 50% by 2030. And the NDP, similar, and the Conservatives are weaker, but they do actually acknowledge the role of having zero emission vehicle targets and goals and investing in infrastructure. All the parties are looking at investing in infrastructure. All the parties are looking at maintaining some sort of rebates for people to help them incent them to purchase these vehicles. One thing that is new that I really like to see, this is what we've been saying is necessary, is the Liberal Party has said they would put in place some kind of regulation to actually regulate that zero emission vehicle sales 50% to 2030. That's in line with what we're doing here in British Columbia, where we have a zero emission vehicle mandate. And once that was put in place, what that means is car dealerships have to actually have those, they have to sell a certain percentage of zero emission vehicles, which means they get them on the lot. And once they have them on the lots and they're available to people, we've seen BC car sales go up to almost 11%, which far surpasses what was expected to happen. So we can see that that policy works. And that was one addition in the Liberals that they are committing in their platform that they will put that kind of policy in place. So that's a very positive thing. On electricity, I talked about why this is important, and that as we phase out of fossil fuels, we need to be plugging into clean electricity. So again, something new in the Liberal platform is a commitment to 100% zero emission grid by 2035. So that's a real positive. We've seen similar types of commitments with the Greens and the NDP, worded differently, but similar types of commitments. The Greens moved that forward to 2030 without any real details about how we would get there by 2030. The Conservatives don't actually talk about the electricity grid, so that real gap that I saw in the Conservatives. On oil and gas, again, something new in the Liberal platform that I think is significant is that they're talking about ensuring that we cap and then phase out the emissions from oil and gas, and they've committed to put in place milestones starting in 2025, which is coming up, which is good, and then 2030. So every 5 years there would be milestones. So they would regulate the oil and gas industry in terms of their emissions level and have that declining over time. That's been missing. So that was a good thing to see. They've also said phasing out fossil fuel subsidies by 2023, and we see that in both the NDP and the Green platforms. In the Conservative platform, you know, what they mentioned after their platform came out was that they intend to reignite the Enbridge pipeline conversation. So they're looking at using carbon capture and storage and other means. They didn't talk about actually limiting the emissions from the oil sands. So that, I'd say, is a striking difference between the Conservatives and the Liberals. And, you know, we see them, I scratched my head on that one. You know, being from British Columbia, we know that there was a fierce opposition to that Enbridge pipeline going through northern BC. And not sure that they want to open that can of worms again, especially since we see the International Energy Agency being very clear that as of 2021, we can have no new fossil fuel infrastructure if we are going to in any way limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. On carbon pricing, we have the Liberals who put in place a national carbon pricing system up to $170 a ton by 2030. Gone through legal battles, you know, has come out and proven that it is something the federal government can do. We've seen this as one of the best tools in the toolbox for fighting climate change, is putting a price on carbon and having that price continue to increase over time. We've had one here in British Columbia since 2008, and it's been effective. When it was continuing to rise every year, our emissions were going down. Christy Clark, of course, stopped that when she came into power. She stopped the increases of the carbon price, and our emissions have been going up since. So all parties are talking about carbon pricing. That's a positive thing. Even the Conservative Party, who had been opposed to it, has it in their platform. I'd say what concern to me is in the Conservative platform, they say that after 2 years they're going to have a review, and if the US and the EU are not having a carbon price, that they will roll that backwards and look at implementing a different type of system. So my real concern there is that it looks to me like a delay tactic. You know, there's no price certainty, there's no predictability for businesses. We have a system up and running, it works, and they're proposing that they would dismantle it in 2 years. We know that the United States is not going to have a price on carbon. So that really concerns me. I would say, you know, we've had enough delay in Canada on all kinds of climate policy. from carbon pricing to the clean fuel standard and other things. So what we need is predictability and certainty, and not to dismantle things that are already working. The NDP and the Greens both say they will keep the price on carbon. The Greens are saying they will increase it even higher. The NDP seems to have some nitpicking about it, but again, as in many parts of the NDP platform, they don't provide any detail about what they would actually do and what they would change. So that's some of the nuts and bolts on the pieces of the platforms. But I just want to finish by talking a bit about integration with the economy, because what we've really seen change over the last 18 months is we've seen significant countries like the UK, the EU, the United States have integrated their climate policy with their economic policy. And they have very ambitious targets. So, you know, we're seeing the EU and the UK. The UK has a conservative government, but still has ambition to reduce their carbon pollution more than ours. They've got an industrial strategy so that they will be producing products that are low carbon. And I'm talking about things like steel, cement, the building materials of the economy, that they'll be reducing the carbon in them. They're talking about border carbon adjustments in all those countries, which means our exports are going to be evaluated on the amount of carbon pollution in them, which means if we're going to be successful, we need to reduce the emissions from our exports. And so again, things like our metals and minerals or our forest products, our steel, our aluminum, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be competitive. And Canada has huge opportunity here because of our clean electricity and because of our ability for things that can't be electrified. We have the ability to make clean, green hydrogen out of, you know, the abundance of water and renewable electricity that we have here in Canada. So what I want to see is a government get into power that understands, you know, what are going to be the products that we're going to be wanting to be exporting in 2030 and 2040, and investing in those types of products and reducing the carbon to meet global standards that we know are coming. We need to start investing in that now. And when you look at the party platforms, that's where I really see that the Liberals come out far ahead of the other parties. They've got a outline of investments that they plan to make, including the Net Zero Accelerator, investing in cities, you know, so that they'll have transit systems, for example, that are electrified, investing in all kinds of different sectors. And we've actually seen them do that over the last 12 months, where they've invested in the auto sector to help it transition to be producing electric vehicles, not gas-fired vehicles, investing in battery manufacturing. It's been identified in the platform that, you know, what is the energy of the future with the renewable energy, and electric vehicles, batteries become a big new opportunity with the metals and minerals we have in Canada, clean electricity. This is a big potential opportunity. Again, there's a global race. Who's going to be the one producing batteries? And Canada doesn't want to be. We have all the metals and minerals to make them, but we don't want to be just exporting those to other countries. We want to be producing these, employing Canadians while we're doing it, and making batteries clean, green, responsible batteries that can be used in the auto sector in North America. So those are some exciting and key things to look for in a platform. We don't see that kind of detail in the NDP or Green platform. With the Conservatives, we really see a focus on investing in some of the industries of the past. Things like carbon capture and storage are highlighted, which is for the oil and gas sector, to help them reduce their emissions. That's a good thing, but it doesn't identify what are the industries of the future that we need to be investing in to get them off the ground now. And you know, I use the example of batteries, but there's many others that you see identified in the Liberal platform, including things that we've seen them invest in today. Low carbon steel, for example, they've been investing in various plants in Quebec and Ontario to really help those industries reduce their emissions and become effective at exporting those products in the future.
You've been listening to Maren Smith, Executive Director of Clean Energy Canada, given an evaluation of the Liberal, Conservative, NDP, and Green Party climate plans. Clean Energy Canada is a climate and clean energy program within the Morris J. Walk Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. It was founded by Smith, who's been the executive director since 2015.